This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 15th chapter of Deuteronomy as he deals with the laws for servants. In those days and in that culture, if you owed a debt that you could not pay, then the man to whom you owed the debt could sell you as a slave in order to satisfy the debt that you owed. So many people went into slavery as the result of their inabilities to pay the debts that they had incurred. Slavery was a common practice. But we are told here concerning the Hebrew slaves, those who were sold to Hebrew owners, that they could only hold them as slaves for 6 years. In the seventh year, it was required that they set them free from their captivity. Now, when they set the slave free, they were not to send them out empty, but they were to give them sheep out of the flock. They were to give them seed out of the threshing floor. They were to see that when they went out, they would have enough to get a good start in a new life. When you get to verses 16 and 17, it brings up the issue of a person who had been a slave. His year of redemption had come, the seventh year. He was now required to be released. However, during this 6 years, he had come to be fond of his master. He enjoyed the work that he was doing. He enjoyed the benefits of being a servant of his master. At that point, he could come to his master and say, "Hey, I love you. I love serving here. I love the things that I have, the blessings that have been mine. I want to be your slave forever." The master would then take him to the door of the house, and with an awl, he would drive the awl through his earlobe and pin him to the door of the house. As he would withdraw the awl, he would put in a gold ring, and that was really the beginning of the pierced ear. And a person with a gold ring in the pierced ear was the sign that he was now a bond slave, which was a slave by choice for life. You may become a slave against your will, not at all by choice, by hard circumstances, by being sold because you were a debtor. You had a debt that you couldn't pay, and so you were sold as a slave to satisfy the debt. But you could only become a bond slave by your own choice. That was a willful thing. I want to be your servant. I want to serve you. And it was a matter of a person's will that created the bond slave. Now, in the prophecy that we read concerning Jesus Christ in Isaiah 50 this morning, in verse 5, it declares, "The Lord God hath opened my ear." That word, "opened mine ear," is actually "pierced my ear." And it is a sign that Jesus became a bondslave to the Father. We are told in Philippians chapter 2 that even though he was in the beginning with God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet he humbled himself and came in the form of a servant. He willingly submitted himself to the will of the Father. We are told in John 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. But the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. When Jesus took on a body of flesh to dwell among us, he was submitting and surrendering himself at that point unto the Father as a slave, a bond slave. The Lord God hath pierced my ear. We find Jesus declaring, I did not come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He came as a servant to do the will of the Father. And we find that the night that he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, Judas was already striking his deal with the priest. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples, and there he knelt on the ground and he began to pray, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground as he prayed, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And I believe it was there in the garden that his ear was pierced. It was there that he surrendered fully to the will of the Father to accomplish redemption for man. In the prophecy in Isaiah that we read, it declares that he gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to those who would pull out his beard, and his face to those who would spit upon it. He was just about ready to be smitten. He was just about ready to go through this horrible ignominy, being spit upon, his beard pulled out, being struck in the face, and then to be crucified. This is the night before. He's facing it all. And there is a reluctance on his own part at this point. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, though he despised the shame. And he said, Father, not my will, thy will be done. The Lord God hath pierced my ear. And in surrendering to the Father, he there purchased your redemption. He there paid the price to free you from the power of sin and from the power of darkness. Now for you and for me, it is not a choice of do I want to be a slave or not. The real choice is who do I want to serve? For everybody must serve somebody or something. No man lives totally independent. No man is totally free. We are all of us slaves, either to our flesh or to the Lord. Many people have yielded themselves to the slavery of the flesh. And you know, any time you begin to indulge yourself in any fleshly desire or lust, it's amazing how that lust can get such a hold in your life that you become a slave to it, and you cannot free yourself. You become just a slave. And the Bible says, by whatever a man is overcome, by the same is he brought into bondage. I am amazed at what a little thing can hold a man in bondage and in slavery. I look at a little cigarette, and I realize that many people are slaves to that cigarette. They've done everything they know how to quit. They know that it's harmful to their health. They know that it can cause lung cancer. They know that it can give them heart disease. And they want to quit, but they can't. They're caught in the vice grip. It's got a hold on their lives, and they can't free themselves. Years ago, and most of you won't remember this, even probably don't even remember the guy, Phil Harris, who used to sing, smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette, puff, 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 if you puff yourself to death, St. tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate, you just hate to make him wait, but you gotta have another cigarette, you know. I mean, it's got such a hold on you. You just can't let go. But it's not just that. There's so many things. You give yourself over to them, and by whatever a man is overcome, the same he is brought into bondage. There are people who have become slaves to pornography. It all began with just an innocent flipping through the pages of a Playboy magazine. But there was a certain titillation and excitement in looking at the nudes, and it began to get a hold on your life. And I've counseled with people who cannot restrain themselves from looking at pornography. And they are miserable. They hate themselves. They say, I don't want to, but I just can't help myself. And they're always going out and buying pornographic materials. But the problem is, you see, you have to find more exotic, more explicit type of pornography. And then you get into the kinky stuff. But it gets a hold on you and you can't stop. You can't let go. It's true in giving yourself over to any kind of sexual perversion. It gets such a hold upon your life that you become bound by it. You become trapped by it. In extramarital affairs, there are persons that become involved. And it has such a power over them that they just can't get out of it. And they hate themselves. They're in misery. They look at their wife. They look at their children, and they feel miserable because of the betrayal of their wife and of their children. And yet they feel so drawn by this affair and by this other person, you know. And they're in this trap and they can't let go. And they see their families and all the things that are valuable go down the tubes. And they just can't help themselves, so they have become a slave. It's taken hold on their life, and they just do foolish things. As the scripture says, a man is brought to a crust of bread by a whorish woman. And a man can be stripped of everything. And he watches it all go. Miserable that it is going, but he can't free himself from that power. It seems almost to be satanic or demonic, the hold that these things begin to take upon a person's life. And of course, we're very familiar with alcoholism and the hold that that can get on a person's life and the destruction that it can bring to a home, to a family, to an individual. So many people are being destroyed, a slow death. And of course, drug abuse, the same thing. The hold that it gets upon a person, almost demonic, to the extent that many times the only thing that can free a person from these holds is the power of Jesus Christ, the redemption. And you know, that's always a glorious thing, to see a person come whose life is bound, who is a slave to any of these practices, and to see the glorious liberating power of Jesus Christ, who died in order to redeem us, which means to buy us from slavery. That's the whole idea of redemption. It's a word that deals with slave trading. You've been redeemed, the Bible said. That is, you've been bought out of that place of slavery and bondage. And the scripture speaks about having delivered us from the bondage of corruption. And Paul said when he was called by Jesus Christ to go to the Gentiles, it was to set them free from the power of darkness and to bring them into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The prophecy of Isaiah concerning Jesus was that he was to set at liberty those who were bound and to open the prison doors to those that were captive. And the glorious liberating power of Jesus Christ, as we come to him and are redeemed and set free from the hold that sin had upon our lives. But here we have the case of the servant who had been serving his master for a period of time. And now comes decision time. His was sort of a forced service up to this point, but he's been there for 6 years. The time has come to set him free, and he says, "Hey, I love you. I've been blessed here. I don't want to be free. I want to be a slave. I want to be your servant. I want to be a slave for life." You say, "Well, why would a person ever want to do that?" Well, you know, a lot of times a person who is a servant lives a lot better than a person who isn't. There are some people who are servants down there in Newport Beach that live in beautiful bayfront homes. And they drive Rolls Royces to the store to buy the groceries. And they eat fancy foods. And when the masters take off for Europe for the summer, they have the run of the whole place. When they want to go someplace, they choose whether or not they want to take the Porsche or the Ferrari or the Rolls, you know. And they have it nice. They're living better than they could ever live anywhere else or in any other capacity. And being a servant isn't bad if the people that you serve are kind and generous people and you have all of the benefits of all of these things. Though you're a servant, yet you have the use of them and the benefit of them. There are some people that really can't function on their own. One of the chaplains in the state penitentiary system, who used to be at Chino, a friend of mine, he was telling me how they're at Chino. Many of those prisoners really cannot function outside of jail. They're terrified of the day that they're going to be set free. And they'll do all kinds of things in prison just to get an extension slapped on their sentence, because they don't want to be free. But finally, when the prison sets them free, they wave goodbye and they say, "See you in a couple months, fellas." And they'll go out and deliberately commit a crime and deliberately get caught so they'll be sent back to jail. Because out on the street, they don't have 3 square meals a day. Nor do they have a big, luxurious swimming pool like they have there at Chino. Bigger than an Olympic size. Great ball diamonds, and hey, they enjoy playing ball all day, swimming, and just goofing off, working out and all. And to them, they call it the country club, and they don't mind it living there at all. In fact, they're sort of terrified trying to live anyplace else. And so they're there more or less by their own choice. Now, here is a situation where a person has been serving, and it's great. Their master is kind. He's generous. They've enjoyed. They've prospered under him. And they say, "Look, I like it here. I love serving you. I don't want to be free." And so the master takes them to the door. He puts the awl through the ear, pins them to the door, and they become a slave for life. A bond slave. It is interesting that in the New Testament, the various authors began their various letters with Paul, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Peter, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Jude, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. James, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And they began their epistles with the declaration, "I am a servant by choice. I am a slave by choice. The Lord has pierced my ear. I don't want anything else. I love serving him. I love the blessings and the benefits of serving him. I want to serve him for life. He's pierced my ear. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ." For many years, I knew Jesus Christ as my Savior, but not as my Lord. There were many years in my Christian walk where I had no doubt of my salvation. I knew that I believed in Jesus and that He died for my sins. But he had not pierced my ear. I was still going my own way. I still had my own plans for my life. I knew what I wanted to be, and I knew the steps that I had to take to be what I wanted to be, and I was on my way to the developing of my own career, my own desires for my own future. And I'll never forget the day that I had a confrontation with Jesus Christ. And in that confrontation, the challenge of his Spirit to my heart, will I really surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus? I had given myself to him as my Savior, but now would I give myself to him as my Lord? And I remember as the Lord dealt with me and as the Lord spoke to me and as the Spirit of God was working in my heart, that I said, Lord, I do love you. I have been blessed. You've been good to me. I want to be your servant for life. And he brought me to the door and he pierced my ear. And I have become his bond slave. I've never regretted that day. That happened when I was a young man, about 17 years old. It was up at a summer camp in the San Bernardino Mountains. I'll never forget it. One of the greatest days of my life, when Jesus became Lord, when he pierced my ear, when he turned me around, when he put me on his path, when I started to follow his will. If I had to do it all over again, I would not be as hesitant as I was that day. If I could go back those many years and have that same confrontation with the Lord, he wouldn't have had to dealt with me as long. Right away I'd say, oh yes, Lord, pierce my ear. I want to serve you for life. Because serving him has been the greatest blessing. Joy indescribable. Peace. You know, being his servant, being his bondslave, he's responsible to take care of me. It was the master's duty to provide for the slave all of his needs, clothing, housing, food. Master has to take care of his servant. And it's glorious to know that the Lord is taking care of you and providing. What confidence, what peace. I believe that here this morning, many of you have been redeemed. You know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but I'm also certain that there are many of you whose ears have not been pierced. You really don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life. You haven't really made that complete commitment of your life to him. I don't question your salvation at all, but what I do question is your commitment. You're still very much in control of your life. You are still doing pretty much what you want to do with little concern for his will or his plan. You have a tendency just to jump in and do something without first inquiring of the Lord and acknowledging him. The Bible says that if in all of your ways you will acknowledge him, he will direct your path. But you haven't taken the time to seek his will. With many of you, your level of commitment does not go much further than Sunday morning. You recognize it as the Lord's day. You give him his hour. And that's pretty much it for the week. You say, well, Lord, I'll see you again next Sunday. Nice to have spent some time with you. Now I've got to go out and make my living and do my thing, you know. And your level of commitment is quite shallow. And the Lord is wanting to face the issues with you. Are you willing to serve completely? Are you willing to make that commitment? Are you willing to say, Lord, I love you. I want to serve you all my life. Pierce my ear, Lord. Bring me to the door. I want to commit myself completely to you. I feel rather sorry for you who have made a partial commitment or a shallow commitment, because you have too much of Jesus to really be thoroughly comfortable in the worldly surroundings. When you go into that worldly atmosphere, you hear the dirty stories and all, and you feel just a little uncomfortable. You've got too much of Jesus to really enter in unrestrained to that old pattern. But you don't have enough of Jesus to have that joy and that peace and contentment. You're sort of in the middle. And you sort of get beat from both sides. You come to church, you feel a little bit beat because you know that you haven't made the level of commitment that you should. You go out to, you know, the Friday night bar or whatever, and you feel a little uncomfortable because, you know the Lord isn't quite pleased with that. And so you're just sort of miserable because you're in the middle, you're in between. The level of commitment is not complete. Shallow. But I'm praying that you might come to a real confrontation with Jesus, where you're going to have to decide on your destiny. Being a bondslave is a matter of choice. You must make that choice. He will not force you into bond service. That's something you must decide and choose for yourself. But he's calling many of you to that choice. Will you surrender yourself completely to him? Allow him to become first in your life? Let him master over your future? Are you willing to surrender yourself totally to him? Let him bring you to the door and drive the awl through your ear and put his ring in your ear. I am a bondslave of Jesus Christ. May God speak to your heart. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you this morning for the work of your Spirit within our lives. That work many years ago, Lord, when you challenged us and we surrendered and you pierced our ear. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the blessing of being your slave. Help us, Lord, to serve you in a way that is totally pleasing to you. Offering to you, Lord, good service. In Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you have come to the point today where sort of decision time. The Lord is challenging you to a full commitment. The Lord wants to bring you to the door and pierce your ear. He wants you to really place your life totally in His hands. He, of course, is your Savior. He has redeemed you. You've been delivered from the bondage of corruption, but He's not really your Lord. He's not really in control. He wants to be. Maybe you'd like to go back to the prayer room and let the Lord pierce your ear this morning. Say, Lord, I do love You, and I've been blessed, and I want to serve You. Take over, Lord. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Your love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take all of me, Lord. And may You know the blessing and the joy and the excitement of serving Him completely. God bless you and be with you as you go your way. May the Spirit of God lead you in His path. May you experience this week again that work of His Spirit within your life as God's love flows forth from you to reach a needy world around you. In Jesus' name.